Good morning again. I just got back. My wife and I, we just got back from Minnesota. And she's kind of sick, so if you could keep her in your prayers. We had a great time in Minnesota. We're not ready to come back. Oh my gosh, the weather in Minnesota is amazing. But today we're doing something a little bit different. We're doing a summary. We've been doing a sermon series on Nehemiah, and we've gone through chapters 1 through 5. Not verse by verse, more like topic by topic, but today we're going to do a little summary and have small group questions. And for those of you, and I know at least a couple of you haven't been here for any of the sermon messages or series, but the questions I have at the end, they're pretty generic. So it's not like you needed to be here to hear the message. Actually, let me just read those questions to you so that you could think about maybe some of the ways you want to answer these questions as I go through the summary. But the small group question, and you don't have to answer any of these, or all of these, I would like for you to answer some of these. You don't have to answer all of these, just whatever questions may catch your attention. For example, the first question is, what role does prayer play in your decision-making process? Is your prayer life growing? Is your prayer life growing? Where are you in your spiritual walk with God? You know, you could be honest and say, well, I'm just curious. Or you could say, I've been walking with the Lord and I want to grow in it more. And the follow-up question of what area are you in your spiritual walk is, what area of your spiritual life would you like to see growth in? You know, the different seasons of our lives, there are different passions, I believe, during those seasons of our lives. For example, there's a season where we just want to know more of the Bible. That's all we want, is more of the Bible. Or there's a season where we just want to pray and pray and pray. Or there's a season of where we want to just go and share the gospel, share, etc., etc. The third question is, what area of your life do you see spiritual opposition? Where in your life are you not walking in the fullness of God's promises? Whenever you begin to walk with the Lord, you will see spiritual opposition in your life, taking form one way or another. For example, just emotionally, you don't feel worthy, or you don't feel like you're competent enough. You hear a reoccurring message of you're not good enough. Let me tell you, that is not from God. If you continue to hear that voice, you're not good enough, you're not worthy enough, and if you're in Christ Jesus, that is not from God. In fact, if you continue to hear just negative voices about yourself, and it's more cutting down rather than building up, not that God will never correct you, but I don't think God is here to constantly put you down, make you feel unworthy. I believe the voice of the Lord is meant to build you up, correct you when you need correction, and strengthen you, and perhaps just that you would walk in the fullness of your redemptive purpose. And the fourth question I have, the last question, is what area of your life are you fearful about? And how can the fear of the Lord help you overcome fear in that area? What area of your life are you fearful about, and how can the fear of the Lord help you overcome fear in that area? For example, if you're always fearful financially, which, you know, many of us either have gone through that or are going through that, how can the fear of the Lord help you in that? Meaning, how can honoring God first, putting Him first, help you overcome fear of poverty or fear of just not being able to pay the bills? Those are the small group questions we'll get into. For those of you who are, I I really do feel bad, especially if you don't like small groups, because I personally don't like small groups. But I'll get into a small group too. You know, because church, you usually just come, sit, listen, and go home. And that's my idea of church too, honestly. But we're doing something different today. And today we're going to share a little bit about ourselves. And I know that's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me as a pastor who's telling you let's do this. I don't like it. I don't necessarily enjoy it. Especially for the new people, I'm really sorry. Because if I was at a church for the first time, I would not want to do this at all. And so maybe we could put the new people together so that... or I don't know. It's just something that we're going to do. Hopefully, it's a blessing. And hopefully, we're not asking you, any of you, to open up your deepest, darkest needs and concerns and fears. But I am asking you to, if the Lord leads you and prompts you, to share whatever the Lord leads and prompts you. And if there's nothing, just say, you know, I don't have nothing. Or if you're uncomfortable, just say, I'm kind of uncomfortable. Pass. Or just say pass, so that, you know, you can just say pass. And if everyone passes, you guys could play a game or something. I don't know what you guys can do. Okay. But in the first chapter in Nehemiah, I focused on the prayer of Nehemiah. The prayer of Nehemiah. And in chapter 1, we see Nehemiah with a burden for his people. And he begins to pray. And he begins to pray, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments. Personally, in my own prayer life, whenever I would start praying, I would always pray Jesus, and I would get into what I need to pray, what I need prayer about, what I need help about. For example, Jesus, do you want me to go to Japan? Or Jesus, help me find a job. Or Jesus, please help this car work. Whatever, you know, whatever the need is, the immediate need. I noticed, though, not all the prayers in Scripture, but I noticed several prayers in Scriptures. When they started praying with, Lord, the God of heaven, the great and awesome God who keeps his commandment. And they go on, and they start praising God first before they ask what they want. And I noticed that, and, you know, prior to me noticing that in Scripture, I would think, man, this person is a religious person when they started prayers like that. Or I would say, this guy does not have a relationship with Jesus like I have a relationship. It wouldn't be that sarcastic or that prideful, but I would sort of think, hey, this guy's prayer life, don't you know you could just ask Jesus what you want like you're his homeboy? Or like you're his buddy. And I do think Jesus is a friend. And I would hope one day that Jesus would call me friend. But I know he is my friend. Anyways, I'll get into that later if you want to know what I mean by that. But, you know, our God is an awesome God. And I've seen throughout Scripture just people honoring God in this way. And just in my own personal prayer growth, I just started to incorporate that and try to do that whenever I remembered. And it's a great way to start our prayers is through worship. There's a psalm that says, we enter his gates with thanksgiving, we enter his courts with praise. And I believe that's just an etiquette into getting into God's presence with praise and thanksgiving. Just begin to praise him, thank him, worship him. Instead of thinking about your problems, start thinking of how great God is. Amen? But any great work in your life, I believe prayer is essential, necessary process. So that first question is, what role does prayer play in your decision-making process? If it doesn't play any part, just say, you know, it doesn't play any part right now, but perhaps I should make it a priority, or something of that nature. I don't know. wherever the Lord leads you. The second sermon I preached was about the hand of God. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah talks about the hand of God was upon me. And that's why I was given such great favor. It's in 2:8b, it says, "And because the gracious hand of God, of my God, was on me, the king granted my request." I remember about 10 years back, hearing and reading about the prayer of Jabez. You guys familiar with that? The prayer of Jabez? It's a prayer found in the Old Testament. And it was popular about 10 years ago. But one of the aspects of the prayer of Jabez, and the prayer is a short prayer, is something like, I forgot the prayer of Jabez. As you can see, I don't pray the prayer. Oh Lord, increase my territory. May your hand of favor be upon me. Keep me far from evil. Something like that. Alright. I'm not the only one that doesn't remember the prayer of Jabez, apparently. But throughout scripture, there are prayers about asking for the hand of God to be upon you. Asking for the hand of God to be upon you. And that's important for any, for success in your life. And when I mean success, I'm not talking about cars, houses, riches, fame, and fortune. If that comes, praise the Lord. Amen? And do what Wayne says, tithe. But, you know, success is more than just being financially blessed. I believe being financially blessed can be a byproduct of success. But what I say, when I mean the hand of God to be upon you, to have a successful life, I mean fulfilling everything God has for you. Fulfilling everything God has for you. Whether you live on the hills of, what are some rich hills out here? Oro Valley? Is that the foothills? Or if you live, you know, on the east side or whatever. If you're fulfilling the purposes of God in your life, you are successful. Amen. And what you need to have success in your life is a hand of God. And you just begin by asking. Ask and you shall receive. Just start asking. Lord, I pray for favor. Your hand of God upon me. Guide me, move me, direct me, give me favor. Open doors for me that I can't open on my own credentials. I pray for your favor. I pray for the gracious hand of God upon me. Chapter 3, I looked at rebuilding the gates. And one of the things I mentioned about rebuilding the gates is whenever God, I don't want to say every time, but a lot of times, or several times, when God does something in the spiritual, He'll do something in the natural. Or if you do something in the natural, it can open up something in the spiritual. And you see that a lot of times with the prophets. The prophets, they didn't just talk about something, a prophecy, but they also did a lot of times demonstration of the prophecy. And I believe the Lord continues to do that even today. Whenever God does something in the spiritual realm, we oftentimes see it in the mirror itself in the natural realm. And in terms of rebuilding the gates, one of the first gates that's mentioned being rebuilt in the book of Nehemiah, a book about restoring the presence of God in Jerusalem and all of Israel and Judah, is the sheep gate being restored. Sheep gate signifying worship and sacrifice, because sheep were used for worship and sacrifice. But whenever I believe God wants to do something in your life, the first gate that has to be opened is one of sacrifice and worship. Isn't that true of anything in life though? Not just spiritual? If you want something worth anything, a sacrifice needs to be made. Obviously, in this context, in Nehemiah's context, it was a blood sacrifice of sheep. But even in our own life, if we want something open in the spiritual, a sacrifice needs to be made. Whether it's a sacrifice of our pride, and I mean, I don't know if that's really a sacrifice, that's maybe more of repentance. A sacrifice of some of our comforts, maybe even a sacrifice of food called fasting. A sacrifice of, you know, sometimes, as Wayne mentioned, Wayne, I'm so grateful for you because I can't say this, some of the things you say up here, because it just seems weird to come out of a pastor's mouth. But, you know, sometimes it does require a sacrifice of finances. You know, you give something even though you don't have enough money to pay the rest of the bills the month. I've heard stories like that countless times, where if I give the whole tithe, then I won't be able to pay all my bills this month, and somehow the finances come in. That's called a sacrifice. But every time that I believe God wants to do something, sacrifice, worship has to come first. Sacrifice and worship must come first. And the greater the sacrifice, I believe, the greater the release of the hand of God in your life, in my life. The next chapter, chapter 4, I talked about spiritual warfare. And in when it comes to spiritual warfare, I'll read the verse in Nehemiah. It says, "Now it came about that when Sanballat," and that's one of the persons that's against Nehemiah and the group from rebuilding the walls, heard that we were rebuilding the walls, he became furious and very angry and mocked the Jews. And whenever we go about doing the Lord's work, there are always, and I put almost because sometimes there may not be, but there will almost always be opposition in one form or another. And it usually comes from someone that's very close to you, that has your ear. Remember, we do not battle against flesh and blood, but sometimes it happens that we are, that somebody can be used by Satan, or that we could hear the voice of the accuser clearer than we could hear God's voice. And what do I mean by that is, you know, when we go about doing the Lord's work and something negative like, who are you to begin this kind of work? Or, you will never be such and such and so and so. You will never be the great, or you will never be a good pastor. You will never be a great leader. You will never get out of poverty. You will never get out of debt. Your debt is too high, too great. Obama's not doing a great job, so you'll never get out of debt. Stuff like that. You know, I don't think that's from the Lord. You will never get out of debt is not from the Lord. I'll guarantee you that one. I can guarantee that one. You will never get out of debt is not from the Lord, because God paid our debt. And if it's not in this lifetime, guess what? In the next one, we'll be out of debt. Debt free, jubilee, amen, hallelujah, amen. Praise the Lord. I look forward to that day. I hope it comes soon. I hope it comes sooner than when I see the Lord face to face. But my hope is in the Lord's promises. My hope is in the Lord's promises. But whenever we go about doing the Lord's work, and the greater it is, the greater the opposition will be. The louder the voices will be. And those voices may have been with you for your entire life, it seems like, from childhood. You know, you heard a teacher say something that was not of the Lord, and it just stuck with you. And it's that voice, internal voice, that just every time you go about doing something, you fall short. And it's because that voice has just enough weight in your life where you quit, where you could have been victorious. Let me tell you, tell that voice, shut up in Jesus' name, and go back to sender. Return it back to sender. Let it fall to the pit of hell where it came from and where it belongs. And last week, I talked about the fear of the Lord from Nehemiah 5:9-13. And this is where Nehemiah brings correction to the community. And Nehemiah says in 5:9, so I continue, what you are doing is not right. Shouldn't you walk in the fear of our God to avoid the reproach of our Gentile enemy? And I know that sometimes when we think of fear, we try to get rid of all kinds of fear. But fear is a natural emotion. Fear oftentimes can even be helpful, raise our adrenaline level. But the fear of people will bring a snare in your life. And the fear of the Lord will set you free. Jesus embraced the fear of the Lord, walked in the fear of the Lord. And when the Old Testament talks about that is a God-fearing man or God-fearing woman, it was a good thing. It was a great thing to be considered a God-fearing man. And the fear of the Lord will keep you from walking in the sinful ways of this world. And what do I mean by the sinful ways of this world? Obviously, I mean sin, as mentioned in Scripture, and probably what we think of, you know, thou shalt not murder, lie, etc., etc., etc. But I mean sin also in the overall context of falling short, of missing the mark. Sin actually is the image of an archer missing the mark. And so when I say the fear of the Lord will keep you from walking in the sinful ways of this world, I'm talking about the fear of the Lord will help you not miss the mark in your life. It will give you peace to hit the mark every time. Whatever that mark is that the Lord is telling you to hit. Bullseye. Those are the sermons I preached these last couple of weeks, and we'll get into small groups and we'll talk about that. And we have the small group questions up here. And these are more generic questions that you don't have to refer back to Nehemiah. Excuse me. You don't have to refer back to Nehemiah. It's more just, you know, in your life, where are you at? Or how does prayer affect you? Or where do you want to see growth? Etc., etc. And as we get together and we talk about that, if you would like, you could come up and then share that with the group. Is that how we're going to do it?
Not at that time. What? We're going to have time to come back again.
Oh man, it's already 12. I'm sorry. Well, I guess for those of you who are anxious about getting into small groups, I guess you don't have to. Well, man. All right. Well, praise the Lord. But these are some questions maybe we could meditate upon throughout the week. What role does prayer play in your decision-making process? I know there are several of you here that are looking for just new jobs. And, you know, ask the Lord, hey, dear Heavenly Father, you who open doors that no one else can open, help me find a job that's perfect for me. That's important. You know, my wife, she struggled with finding a job for 2 years, and that was not fun. Or just in your decision-making process, you know, is this the right thing for me to do? Is this the right thing for my family and I? Not right as in, is this going to make us the most money, but right as in, is this your will, Lord? Because sometimes money comes with a price that's greater than dollars and cents. Is it worth my family? Is it worth my marriage? Is it worth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera? Are these decisions really worth it? I may be able to provide for my family with this, but will I have a family if I take this? So in the decision-making process, it has to be more than just finances. Where are you in your walk spiritually with God? And more importantly, what area of spiritual life, what area in your spiritual life would you like to see growth in? You know, I want to grow in prayer, or I want to grow in sharing my faith with other people, where I don't turn them off, and I don't, where I'm sensitive to where they are. You know, Jesus didn't have a problem talking about the kingdom of God. In fact, people ran to Jesus asking about the kingdom of God. And so, when it comes to evangelism, we can get better. We can be better. What areas of your life do you see spiritual opposition? Where are the voices loudest that are cutting you down?
Work.
Work. Right. Yeah. Work or
family
sometimes. A lot of time the closest places is where Satan wants to speak through. And our battle, again, is not against flesh and blood, although Satan will use flesh and blood to get to you. But we have to understand that every trial is meant to make you better. But it has the potential to make you bitter. Every trial has the potential to make you bitter. And if we fail our trials, instead of becoming better, what the Lord intended it for, it could be used for what Satan wants it for. And finally, what areas of your life are you fearful about? I'll just share something very trite in my own life. I like playing basketball, as most of you know. And let me just share something that's been bothering me, if that's okay. So this is our small group, and I get to share because I have the mic. So, in basketball, I'm a pretty good shooter. I don't like to boast, but I probably could shoot a three-pointer better than all of you. but my three-point shot's pretty good. However, I could shoot well when it's one-on-one, two-on-two, even three-on-three, my three-point shot goes in. But for some reason, when it's five-on-five, my three-point shot goes from about 50% to 20%. And I don't know what it is. I think maybe I'm fearful what other people would think of me. Because I remember when I was a kid, in high school, some of my friends called me a ball hog. And if you don't know what a ball hog is, that's someone who doesn't like passing the ball. And I still remember that. That's like, to date myself, that's like high school, almost 20 years ago. Ooh-wee. That is 20 years ago. Oh my gosh, that's actually more than 20 years ago when that happened. Wow, I'm old. But again, trite, yes it is, but I do pray, God, am I fearing people too much? What people think too much when I shoot my three? Is that what's bothering me? Is that why it doesn't go in? Anyways, so I ask God, amongst many, this is not my first prayer I ask the Lord, okay? I don't ask the Lord, God, I need the fear of the Lord so I can be a better basketball player. That is not on the top of my list. That's pretty low on my list. But I just want to share, that's something I do talk to God about. Anyways, that's all I'll share today. But for your life, though, you know, what areas do you struggle with? Do you fall short of your potential in? You know, whether it's music, maybe you're a great writer and you're having writer's block, or I don't know what it is in your life. But, you know, if you have those things, bring it to the Lord. Even if it's silly as basketball, bring it to the Lord. You may be saying, man, you're 37, you shouldn't be playing basketball. May the Lord will tell me. I don't know. But, yeah, let's bring that to the Lord. And if you have something that you'd like to share with the group, then next week, I'll let you guys share that with the group after service. Sounds good? Alright, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, your love, Lord, your perfect love that casts out all fear. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. And Lord, our desire is to be like Jesus, who brought glory to your name by finishing all the assignments you have given him, that he did not miss the mark. I pray, Lord, that in each of our lives, we would be able to recognize the target that you have for us, the redemptive purpose you have for us, and that we would accomplish all that you have for us, Lord, to walk in the fullness of your promises, God. We thank you, Father, for your grace, your mercy, your goodness, and your kindness that leads us to repentance. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.